Good morning, beloved of God. This morning I want to talk about something that is extremely pertinent in our day and age, and that is truth. Or another title for this sermon, do all roads lead to heaven? And the answer to that is no. And in order to back that up, we must objectively use the truth in the scriptures. Now, back in the day, here's the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to just simply say church. In 605, the Catholic Church had its first pope. And then later on, with Mr. King Henry VIII, then there was the Anglican Church. Anglican. And then there was also the Episcopalian Church. And I guess in between there, you could say Lutherans. And as this timeline goes on with the Catholic Church, then you've got what's called Anabaptists. Now, the Anabaptist, the word Anna means again. I misspelled that. Let's see here. And so these guys were called Anabaptists. And they denoted that you needed to believe in order to be baptized, not just baby baptism, but you have to be baptized again. And then later on, you come up with the Baptist Church, the real Baptist Church. And then there are a lot of offshoots of the Baptist Church. You ever heard of Hardshell Baptist, for example? And Missionary Baptist. And then we have also got the Methodist. And the Methodist have had several iterations, so I'll just do that like that. And then further on down, you've got what we call the Christian Church. And these would be called disciples of Christ, if you know that particular name. And then we've also got a number of what we would call cults. These like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, and you've also got the Christian Scientist. Those are just way off the line from what the Catholics got started. So let me put this up here for reference, 605 AD. All right, but what is this church? That's the church we're trying to find. Now, in our current day, it's been going on forever, since the 60s, people decided, well, let's not argue anymore among the denominational folks. Let's just say that, you know, we're all on different roads, perhaps, but we're all going to the same place. All roads lead to heaven is essentially their thinking. And I'm okay, and you're okay. You worship the way that you want to. We'll worship the way that we want to. And we'll all arrive at the same destination. Which, if any logical person would just think about these things, you would say, well, if I read in Acts chapter 2 and on, I find that there is just one church, and that is all Christians were members of this one church. Back in the first century, there were no Baptists. Back in the first century, there were no Methodists. Back in the first century, there were no Catholics. There were no cults that were an offshoot of something that believed about Jesus as being the Christ. There were just a number of offshoots that go on down through time. But this church, the one that Jesus would start, and I'm going to do this for a little bit. Eric, I'm going to put you on the spot this morning. Matthew 16, verse 18. What does that say? Okay. Matthew 16 and verse 18.
I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it.
Whose church was it going to be?
Jesus' church. It will be my church. Now, if you're thinking logically again, if you're thinking that all of these guys might be okay, and yet they differ from what Jesus had to say about his church, then how can that possibly be? How can we be all on different roads leading to the same place? So what's the solution? The solution is simply truth. And so we have to ask several questions. Well, we know that the God of heaven exists, and he created everything through Jesus Christ. And we are all here today because Jesus created every one of us. I like to say Jesus invented us, but you get the story. You get the understanding. And we need to ask the question again, is God truthful? Did he speak truth? Well, Adam and Eve found out that he did. If you'll turn over to Genesis chapter 2, please. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. Genesis 2 and verse 16. God tells Adam in verse 16, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat from it.'" Here's the emphasis, the emphatic emphasis. Does that make sense? "You will surely die." Now, you realize this is the only time in the Garden of Eden that death is mentioned. Until we get to chapter 3, and then what happens in chapter 3 of Genesis? Well, Eve eats of the forbidden tree and passes that along to Adam. And so God says, all right, you have to leave perfection and you have to go out into a cruel, cold world and you have to work diligently for your food. And then someday you're going to pass from this life. You are indeed going to die physically. Well, so Adam and Eve found out that God spoke the truth. God said, don't do that, but they did. And they died for that. That's a pretty good proof of God speaking. All right, so, you know, the Old Testament Jews also found out. You can take a look at Leviticus chapter 27, and God says, if you do these things, I will bless you. If you don't do these things, I will curse you. And things kind of sort of rocked along for the Hebrews, and after a while, they started leaving the commandments of God. They decided that, hey, let's just do our own thing. The book of Judges, everybody did what was right in his own eyes. So that's not with God. And time keeps moving on for the Hebrews, and they get into all kinds of immorality. And it's not just sexual immorality, excuse me. It is immorality of morals. That's the concept. I'm going to cheat my brother. I'm going to lie to my wife. I'm going to murder this guy that keeps pestering me. And I'm just going to be unjust in business. I'm going to make it my way. I'll make extra profit if I cheat these guys out of their money. All right. So God told them many, many times, if you get back on track, things will be good for you. But if you don't, I will send foreign nations to overtake you. So let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 39. Jeremiah chapter 39. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Now, when Jerusalem was captured in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, the city wall was breached. Then all the officials of the king of Babylon came in and sat down at the middle gate. Nergal says, Sarezer, Samgar-Nebu, Sarsekim, and the Rabsaris. Nergal, Sarezer, the Rabmag, and all of the rest of the officials of the king of Babylon. When Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, they fled and went out of the city at night by way of the king's garden through the gate between the two walls, and he went out toward the Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and they seized him and brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, at Riblah in the hand of Hamath, and he passed sentence on him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes at Riblah. He then blinded Zedekiah's eyes and bound him in fetters of bronze to bring him to Babylon. The Chaldeans also burned with fire the king's palace and the houses of the people, and they broke down the walls of Jerusalem. As for the rest of the people who were left in the city, the deserters who had gone over to him, and the rest of the people who remained, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, called them into exile in Babylon. But some of the poorest people who had nothing, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, left behind in the land of Judah and gave them vineyards and fields at that time. So, what do you think? God said, don't. But they went ahead and did it anyway. And they found out that God was indeed speaking the truth of the things that he had proclaimed beforehand. Now, John 17 and verse 17, we find this from Jesus himself. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Now, the word sanctify means to pull apart, to be separate, to be holy. And then you are separated to holiness by God, by Jesus. And when you are saved, you are to walk in holiness because you are sanctified. Now, the thing is, Jesus' prayer was that very thing. And he goes on to say in verse 17, O Lord God, your word is truth. Now, if God speaks the truth, don't you think that we should be following God's word? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In verse 17, so that the man of God may be complete, perfect in every good work. If you read the Bible, folks, you're going to be a complete human being ready to do the works of God in holiness. All right, but let's move on. So we find out that God Almighty speaks truth, as if we had to really question that, but some people apparently do. Well, now the second question, did Jesus speak the truth? We've already found out in Matthew 16, verse 18, that Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. Overcome it. Death cannot destroy the church that Jesus Christ built. Now, you take a look at all of the different religious groups that I've shown up here. If they're not this church, do you think that death will overcome these other denominational groups? I would have to logically conclude that the answer to that is yes. You're dying if you're in a denominational group of people. Now then, here's what Jesus had to say, or God had to say about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. In these days, Jesus gets the message from God. Jesus proclaims that message, and the world is saved by that message. Now, let's turn over to Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus asked this question. It's a great question. He says in verse 46 of Luke 6, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" All right, so let me ask you this question. Are these guys doing what Jesus said? Are these folks doing what Jesus said? Are these guys doing what Jesus said? Are these guys doing what Jesus said? Well, they don't exist anymore. Are the Catholics doing what they... Are the Lutherans? Are the Anglicans? Are the Episcopalians and all these cultic groups? Are they doing what the Lord said? And the answer to that is no. Well, how do I know that? Because they're not paying attention to what Jesus had to say. Jesus is the answer to salvation. Jesus is the one that's going to get you into heaven. So you need to pay attention to what Jesus had to say. We've already determined that God spoke truth. And if that's the case, then God says he now speaks through Jesus. So apparently Jesus is speaking the truth. And then we go over to John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Do you know what that verse is? John 14 and, whoa, let me get my thing back here. There we go. John chapter 14 and verse 16. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." All right, so we have that. But let's walk our way down, or up, excuse me, to verse 10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do greater than these, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So Jesus even declares, God said in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God speaks through Jesus. And here Jesus is saying, yes, that's right. I got this message from God. And that's the only message that I'm going to give to you. And then in Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter in Jude, of course, Jude chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Jude 1 and verse 3. "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was," how many times delivered? "Just once, which was once delivered," or "once for all handed down to the saints." Christians in this age right here, the first century, they would have had to say, no, no popage. No, no getting off the Catholic things. They don't exist. No Anglican, no Episcopalian. And you can go down this list. You just say, no, no to that. And today, we have to preach the exact same message that was preached in the first century. That is the truth. We cannot live eternally without truth. Without the truth, we die spiritually, separated from God, and our entire existence after that is in a burning lake of fire. Nobody wants that. We have to contend for the faith in our day and age. So did Jesus speak the truth? I would have to say that he did, because he got his message straight from Lord God Almighty. Well, do you think that the Holy Spirit and the apostles spoke the truth? Well, let's take a look at this. Jesus said that he would. The apostles understood that the Holy Spirit told them the truth, and the apostles spoke what it is that they received. Now, let's go to John 14. You're already there, I hope. John chapter 14. Go back to John chapter 14, this time in verse 26. John chapter 14 and verse 26. Now here's the word. This is super important. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now, what's the function of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is going to take the Word of God, the Word of Jesus, because that's true, you know, that's the truth. And the Holy Spirit is going to take that truth and pass it along to the apostles. And as the apostles were going out and doing the things that they would do, the Holy Spirit was with them, reminding them of what Jesus told them. In fact, they were even told down in chapter 16. Let's go to chapter 16 now. Chapter 16 of John, and taking a look at verse 13. Verse 13 of John. But when he, the Spirit of what? The Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into how much truth? All truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. The Holy Spirit just isn't going to do that. But whatever he hears from God, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Now, do you believe that the Holy Spirit spoke the truth, spoke the words of God, and delivered that truth to the apostles? I would have to say that he did. And so whatever the apostles taught, that's the truth. Were they men? Absolutely. But they were inspired men, inspired by God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the doctrine that we have as the church of Jesus Christ. Well, let's take a look now at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But just as it is written, don't you think that's the truth? But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. All right, so that's going to be something that sounds a little mysterious. It's kind of sort of like, we ain't got the covering pulled back on that. Now, verse 10. For to us, that is the apostles, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For among men, who knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we, the apostles, have received not the spirit of the world that causes death, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, that's just wrong. There's no life in human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, which gives you eternal life, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. All right. Do you think the apostles had the truth of the message given by or through the Holy Spirit? And do you think as the apostles were going out into the world and preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they were going to speak only the truth? Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. excuse me, chapter 1. Let me back up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I did that in my studies too. All right, beginning in verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report to us about us what kind of a reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Think with me, please. Consider these thoughts. Can the Catholics get you into heaven? And the answer to that is no. Why is it no? Because you can take a look at their practices and their doctrine and their weird ways of doing things, and you can compare that to the church of the New Testament, and you can say, that's not the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, you can take any other group that's listed up here, and you can ask, are the Episcopalians going to get me to heaven? And the answer is no, although they have really beautiful services. The Episcopalian church is not going to be able to get you to heaven. Well, aren't the Baptists going to get you to heaven? No, why? Because they're not the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. They do not follow the doctrine and the pattern of what's given in the New Testament. Do all roads lead to heaven? The answer is no. Which road leads to heaven? Can I take you back to Matthew 7? Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Listen to the truth of what Jesus says. It's just like God talking to the Hebrews, saying, you guys best pay attention, otherwise I'm going to have to take you off the earth. And that's exactly what happened, because they didn't pay attention. They wouldn't do what God wanted them to do. Now here's Matthew 7 verse 13. The same sort of idea, the same warning we get right here. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter in it. Now, wait a minute. Now, what do you mean by that, Garland? All right, so there's this narrow gate that leads to salvation, but there's also a wide gate that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is actually small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Why is the gate small? The gate is the salvation, the gospel. It is the truth. You can only follow the gospel if you've a mind to follow the gospel, and the gospel will get you to heaven, which is where you want to be. And the way is narrow. Why is the way narrow? Because we're sticking to the truth of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ as found in the pages of the New Testament. One more verse and I'll let you have it for this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5. Ephesians 3 and verse 5. let's start in verse 3. That by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. What mystery is that? The mystery of salvation for the Gentiles. As I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you do what? Become a Catholic? Is that what it says? No. It says when you read
the scriptures, of course, you can understand what I'm talking about, my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. My friends, one more time, blanket big statement. All roads do not lead to heaven. You've got to look at the truth and the practices of the New Testament church if you want to get to heaven. There's a reason it's called the Church of Christ. In our day and age, if any group of people want to truly be God's people, they will look in the New Testament and say, the New Testament church did this, and so we will do this. And the New Testament church taught this. We will teach that. There are small congregations in Africa and in Asia and in the Philippines, for example. There are small congregations of people who say, we are only going to do what it is that the Lord tells us to do. That's how you become saved, and that's how you are admitted to the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. It's His church. Can't we just do away with all these denominational names and say the truth of the matter that the church belongs to Jesus Christ? Can't we practice New Testament practices and doctrine? We can read and understand.